Psalm 130. That's where we'll be, the whole thing. 8 verses. I think we can cover it. I'm going to go ahead and read for us the psalm in its entirety. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word do I hope. I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Father, bless your word. Let us hear it, Lord. Be with your people, we pray. Amen. Out of the depths I have cried to you. When we read that statement, of course, the psalm has something specific in mind. In verse 3, you'll see repentance. But I want us to think about the depths and what it means for us. And of course, we're good Calvinists, so we believe in total depravity. We start there, in the miry depths of the world's filth. We start encumbered with a death, with a debt that we cannot pay. We start encumbered by a fleshly urge to sin after the sin of our father, the devil, Adam, the fallen race of man. We start in the depths. Do we think, dear Christians, about the depths of our life now? Do we think about the awfulness of our sin? You might say, well, you know, I'm not this or that. Okay, good, I'm glad. But do we pray as we ought? No, we don't. So every day we sin. Think about the depths of our sin. We compare ourselves to who? To Christ. And there is no hope. We have no hope in works. We have no hope in prayer. As far as works go, we can't pray enough. We can't work enough. We can't sing enough. We can't help enough. We are hopeless. We're in the depths of bondage. And then the Lord comes. And he quickens our spirit. He gives us new life. Through the gospel, he saves us. It's not you. You're dust. Job says, I repent. He has all these questions, all these things to say to God. And in the end, when he sees God face to face, he repents in dust and ashes. That's a good example for us. When we approach the Lord, we approach him not from a lofty place, like the Pharisee might have thought. Think, God, I'm not like one of these tax collectors. We don't approach him from there. Now, the Bible does tell us what? It tells us to come boldly when we approach the Lord. But how does one boldly approach the King of glory, the Master of creation, the Lord of the universe? I suggest to you that we humbly approach boldly. Boldly, humbly, we go. Lord, because we're addressing him, aren't we? Face to face, so to speak. Lord, that's bold enough, dear Christian. Lord, I repent in dust and ashes. We cry from the depths. We're surrounded by sin. We're surrounded by sin in our workplace. We're surrounded by sin sometimes even in the church. We're surrounded by sin. And if we're not surrounded by unrepentant, unregenerate, awful sin, we're surrounded by the consequences of sin. We're mired down. We're laden with these things. And so where do we go? What do we do? Well, like the psalmist, I suggest to you, we cry out from the depths. Lord,
I repent in dust and ashes.
Lord, I cry out to you. Why do we cry out to the Lord? Because he's the only hope. He's the only source of blessing. He's the only source of sovereign power to help in anything that needs helping. We think, oh no, I got that. I can do that. I can help. We might think, you know, we have a lot of medical people in here. And since I love Ian, I'm going to just pick on him. Ian helps me a lot. Ian, hey, my baby is running like a 6,000 degree temperature, man. What in the world do I do? Ian will help. Ian might think, look it, I helped. I helped. Is Ian really the one helping? Who put me and him together? Who joins the church together? Who fits together so neatly and so perfectly those living stones that are building the holy temple of God? The Lord does. Every phone number you have in your cell phone, or in maybe some cases your Rolodex, every phone number you have is given to you by the King of Kings. Every situation we go into. So who do we cry to first? We cry to the Lord because he is sovereign and he is magnificent and he is beyond our comprehension. And he, above all those things, the New Testament believer, we know for a surety that this God loves us. And he loves us so much that he gave us God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life and die in our stead on the cross. Jesus Christ, very man, very God, died on the cross for our sins, and yet the grave could not contain him. This is who we cry out to. From the depths, we cry out to him who has known the depths, because he suffered like a man. He was tempted like we are, yet without sin. We cry out from the depths because our Savior and our God knows exactly from where we are crying. He relates to us, and he knows us intimately and thoroughly. So we cry out for his help, and that help comes in many, many ways. One that I mentioned before, maybe in a friend from church. But it comes from in more ways than that. So we cry out to the Lord, but we really wanted, that's a very general teaching, that's a very general devotion that I started with. Now we want to get to the specifics of the passage. And I'll get there in a minute after I catch up. So Lord, in verse 2, hear my voice. We're crying out to the Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to me and to the voice of my supplications, my pleas. So this person, the psalmist, us as believers, we approach the Lord and we say we approach the Lord and we cry out to the Lord, God Most High, humbly as servants in supplications. Why? What does supplications mean? Well, it can mean a plea, begging. We're bringing nothing to the table. We have nothing to give. The Lord has all to give. He is the source of all blessing. And here, dear friends, is where we get to the specifics of the passage. Verse 3, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? The psalmist, he's starting low. He's in the depths. He's crying out to the Lord and he's begging God for attention, that he would hear his prayer. And why does he need his prayer heard? Well, he has sinned in some way, and he acknowledges before the most holy and living God, I have sinned, and if you, Lord, would look at my iniquities, I could not stand. In fact, no one can stand if the Lord would mark iniquities. How many of us in here have iniquities and sins? All of us, and we stand forgiven in Christ. We stand forgiven in Christ. We stand before the Lord in the robes of righteousness imputed to us by Jesus Christ, our King, our Lord, our brother, our co-heir, the Bible says. The psalmist is not without hope, and we mark a distinct turn in the passage in verse 4 as he cries out to the Lord in despair. He's crying out for repentance. And then what does verse 4 says? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. Now, I'm telling you right now, as I go off on this rabbit trail, that the Lord God forgives his children and we look to him as a loving father. But if you've ever watched a mafia movie, if you've ever watched a mob movie, you understand that these gangsters, they get something over someone, right? They know that you have a gambling problem. They're going to cover your debt, but you're going to have to do something for me. Capiche? All right, I'm sorry. Forgive me. That's what the devil and his servants do. The devil wants you to hide your sin from this glorious, this merciful, this infinitely patient and gracious God. He wants you to hide away your sin. And he has something on you. You'll do his work. You'll push away God's people. You'll push away, more importantly than that, more importantly than, a lot of people push away God's people, the church. More importantly, they push away the Lord himself. They don't want to talk to him. Remember what happened in the garden. Adam, where are you? I was naked, so I hid. The devil works like a mafia boss. He gets stuff on people and then he extorts them, spiritually extorts them, wants them to die, wants them to wither, wants them to bring other people down with them. That's how sin works. And so what is the best cure for sin? Well, I'm telling you right now that the Word of God clearly tells us in many places the best cure for sin is repentance. David elsewhere says what about repentance? I have sinned against you and you alone, because all sin is to the Lord Most High. And we sin against a brother or sister and we repent to them as well. But most importantly, we repent to the Lord, because we have to start there. That's where it matters. What happens? You can sin heinously. You can really mess up bad. There's forgiveness for you in Christ. There's forgiveness in the Lord. I was listening to someone talk about Paul and how Paul, with zealous anger, persecuted the Christians in almost a blind fury, a rage. One man says that most likely Paul was one of those in that passage in Acts that could not refute Stephen. And so with a blind rage, he set about killing God's people, are persecuting God's people in this blind rage, ravaging the church. And what does the Lord do? He converts him. He converts him, this God who, by all account, or by all rights, should strike him dead, should strike us dead, should have just crumpled up the world had it not been for his righteous decree. But he didn't. Instead, he did something remarkable. He did something just out of this world, and he sent his own son to die. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Savior of sinful men. Now, the psalmist hasn't got to that part of the story yet, but we have. Look at this wonderful treasure the New Testament Christian has when we read through this psalm, because we see it in the full light of day. But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. Praise the Lord, there is. The righteous, atoning blood of the Lamb. And we fear him not as the deli owner fears the mafia boss. We fear him as the noble knight who fears the liege lord. No, that's not good. I should have written one down. We fear him as a righteous father. We fear him as a child fears their righteous, perfect father. I'm not perfect. I lose my temper. I do. I've done it. Not perfect. Sometimes I mishandle my daughters by being too gruff. Sometimes I mishandle my son by being too impatient. Sometimes I mishandle conversations with my wife by not listening well enough. I'm an imperfect husband. I'm an
and perfect Father, we serve a God who calls himself Heavenly Father. He is a perfect Father to us. And we meditate on this and we want to reflect on this. Why? Because most of the time we're so burdened by baggage that we don't treat him that way. We treat him like we'd expect our earthly father. We treat him like we'd expect ourselves to act, but that's wrong. We must treat him like he is. A perfect Heavenly Father who, where there's forgiveness, where forgiveness is found, where the only place where forgiveness can be found. And so we fear him like that. I will wait on the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. What does his word say, dear brothers and sisters? 1 John. And now I can't, it slipped my mind. God is faithful and just to forgive. That's what the word says. That's not what we say. That's the word. Dear brother, dear sister, that's the word we hope in. That's the word we look at. What else do we find in the word? Ooh, goodles of things that are not on topic for this evening. We could talk about marriage. We could talk about discipline, child rearing, schooling. We could talk about how we dress, how we act. We could talk about a million things. But we're talking about forgiveness. And we're talking about what we hope in. And in the end, we hope in the forgiveness of the Lord. My soul waits, verse 6 says, my soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, verse 7, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. Abundant redemption, abundant redemption. Redemption from what? I don't know. What ails you, dear brother? What ails you, dear sister? Substance abuse, pornography, temper, impatience, lust, slothfulness. What ails you? In the Lord, there is abundant redemption. The deal with the devil, the deal with Mephistopheles in the old play, always comes with a twist, doesn't it? That twist usually involves the person's death. The deal with the mob boss comes with strings attached. Not so with our perfect Heavenly Father. There are no strings attached. He has abundant redemption. Listen to this. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Who is Israel? That's us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll plant a flag on that hill and die there. Paul tells this Gentile church what? He tells them, our fathers. Who died where? The desert. Who was that? That's Israel. I can't get plainer than that. But anyway, I don't want a dog leg down that hill. He shall redeem his people. Every one of them. Not one left behind. Not one lost. So for us tonight, when we look at this passage, when we look at Psalms and we see that this psalmist is appealing, he starts with himself out of the depths. I have cried to you. And where does he end? He ends with the redemption of Israel from all his iniquities. Much like the psalmist, we can start tonight crying out from the depths for repentance or for salvation if the person is lost. And it starts singular, but where does it end? It ends with the church. It ends with God's people. Halfway through, where do we find the hope of the psalmist? The hope is in the word of God. And on it he stands. From there we go on to see the abundant redemption of the Lord, for there is mercy there. And in the end, he shall redeem his people from all their iniquities. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that it would be edifying to the saints. Father, use it to nourish us, that we might pray rightly and do rightly before you. Father, help us to do what thou hast given us to do, that we would walk before thee, Lord, in a pleasing way, as children, not as Christ, who is our Savior and our Lord, but as children, looking to the Lord of creation for their salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the imputed righteousness of Christ and all that entails. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with us as we pray tonight. We pray, Lord, that the prayers would be heard, that you'd be attentive to our supplications. In Jesus' name I pray.